Good morning. It is great to be with you again this week as we continue talking about the rest of faith. I trust you have been blessed by this as much as I have in preparing it. And let me just mention, if anyone needs notes, they are free to contact us. You can Facebook message us at the ministry, or you can message directly to Patricia Dudley. And we'll get those to you. Also, if you're listening via the website and you want them, then you can email us at info@mintonwilliams.com. Let's pray as we get started this morning. Father, I thank you for your great love for us. I thank you that you have created a rest that we can partake of. And as we study what that rest is today, I ask you for Holy Spirit to just reveal to each one those little things that we need in order to move more into this rest that you've prepared for us. We give you praise and we give you glory and we give you honor in advance, because we can say, as you minister the word, your word to us, we will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in our second week, we talked about we've been invited to his rest. And we reviewed a little bit, and I'll go over a couple of those same items today. You find yourself fighting, standing, sitting. We looked at scriptural basis for all of those, and sometimes you wonder which one you ought to be doing. And then someone will come along and say, well, you just need to rest. And so this is what the Lord has laid on my heart, to focus on this part of it, is how to rest. We began looking last week at some of Jesus' words on rest and focusing on some key elements. But we noted that every time we pray, we don't always receive instantaneously. And we saw that was an issue for the children of Israel when they were given a promise. We talked about healing last week and how sometimes the healing takes some time to come. That doesn't mean it's his will, but it just means that there is time that is trying us. And as we do that, we need to be able to do this, I believe, in this position of rest that we've been talking about. Hebrews 4:1. I'm just going to read one of the three verses we read last week. We'll actually cover the other two in today's teaching. It says, the only fear we really have of falling short of is that of entering into his rest. That's the essence of what it says. But the key point for us today and last week was there is a rest that we can enter into, and we have promises concerning that. And I tell you, I have just had revelation upon revelation of how important it is for me to pursue that rest. Not just stand, but really get into his rest in that assurance that I need to walk in. And we spent most all last week looking at Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, looking at Jesus' first words concerning this word rest. And so let me read you the Amplified. We went through this in great detail, and I'm not going to reteach it, but it's worth reading. And I trust some of you, as I have, spent some time just going back and reading and thinking about, meditating and pondering this verse. Verse 28, Matthew 11 in the Amplified. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, or lowly, in heart, and you will find rest. And then it amplifies that rest by saying relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet. And we talked about each of those. And we're finding that for our souls. So we're seeing this spiritual force impacts our entire being as it impacts our soul. And he concludes by saying, my yoke is wholesome. It's useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, pleasant. And my burden is light to be easy and easy to be borne. So in these verses, we just looked at so many elements, from learning about him, coming to him, seeing what he's talking about with rest. And today, I really want to pick up on that and begin to talk about what I've entitled His Rest, My Sabbath Rest. And we're going to explain what we mean by that. One of the verses we looked at last week was Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the 6th verse. And I really just want to read the very first phrase of that. It says, since therefore, talking therefore about what all he just talked about, this rest, it remains for some to enter it. Now, and that's really all I want to read. Enter what? Well, it's talking about his rest. Now, some there is an interesting word because it literally means in the Greek, any person, and it implies any person who will. So since, therefore, it remains for us to enter into that rest, and we know it's His rest. And how do we do that? It's by faith in Jesus. It comes by believing. We are placed into that position where we can rest. Now look down at verse 9 with me in this same chapter. And I'm going to read this to you in 6 different translations because there are some differences in them, and I want you to see exactly what it's talking about. King James, all of them, let me just say all of them, point to a strong desire on the Lord's part for us to enter into this rest that we're talking about. King James says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. So we know he's talking to you and to I. The New King James says it very similar. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. But when you look at some other translations, the New American Standard, and we're going to explain why, says, so there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. The New Living Translation actually says, so there is a special rest. And then it says, still waiting. I like that. It's there for the taking for the people of God. But I want you to listen to Young's literal translation. I've told you before, I respect this guy and his work because he gets right down to the heart of what the Hebrew, or in this case, the Greek word means. And listen to what he says. There doth remain then a Sabbatic rest to the people of God. So what is the difference? What causes that difference? Well, the word in the Greek that is used, and I've put it in your notes, sabbatismos. And I won't try to spell it because it's in the notes. But it's a derivative of a word which means Sabbath, or some might say Shabbat. And the definition of it is this, a sabbatism. And now it explains what it means by that. That is, figuratively, the repose, or we might say rest, of Christianity as a type of heaven. Now, I want you to ponder that. Let me read it one more time. The repose of Christianity as a type of heaven. Now, what do we pray? And what in our church this morning, we prayed that concerning things as we gave thanks for the changes in our laws this last Friday concerning Roe v. Wade. We gave thanks and we gave praise and we said, Lord, your kingdom come to Macon, Georgia. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is what it says now, the rest or repose of Christianity as a type of heaven. That is the word that is translated rest. That is the word that is translated a Sabbath rest or Sabbatic rest. And that's the word that is translated a special rest in the New Living Translation. Now, let me read you the Amplified, and we'll begin to move on. It says, so then, there is still awaiting a full and complete Sabbath rest reserved for the true people of God. Let me say that one more time. There is still awaiting a full and complete Sabbath rest reserved for the true people of God. That's you. That's me. This is what is awaiting us to step into. It's what is awaiting those who are not born again to also be able to do what? To step into once they receive Jesus. Now, I want to pause here and I just want to ask this question. Is this what is available to us. As we looked at last week and again today in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, where Jesus talked about that rest that He's given us. When He says, I will cause you to rest in 28, or He says, you will find rest in verse 29, is this what He's talking about? I believe that it is. Now, I don't want you to get worried. We're not taking us back to Old Testament rituals or Old Testament laws. We're not going to start obeying the laws exactly concerning the Sabbath as they had to do. We are free. We've been made free. We're not bound by works. We've been made free by faith in Jesus, by that grace He's given us. But even though I'm not taking you back to living that way, there are some types or shadows we've commonly talked about, but I want to use a little different phrase. I think it's more accurate to say there are some pictures that we can see of what we have available to us today in our new covenant as we look at some aspects of rest concerning the Sabbath. Let me give you an example. This past weekend, as we had some family together, BJ prepared a caramel cake, one of my favorites, and many of the children and grandkids' favorites also. And if you saw a picture of that cake, what might you say? Boy, that looks so good. But you know, I can say something out of having partaken that cake. I can say that cake was or is very good. I might say that cake tastes so good. And that reminds me of the scripture that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, why I'm saying that is because you're going to be able to see that today as we study His Word concerning rest, you're going to be able to see some pictures concerning rest. You're going to get some images, some thoughts, some positions that we can assume in Him, which is where this rest is. And you're going to see what is available to you. But can I tell you that until you partake of it, it's not going to make a difference to you, a real difference to you. You're not going to experience it so you can say truly, I have experienced the rest, His rest, and it is very good. So let's go all the way back to the beginning, Genesis, the second chapter, and we're going to look at the first two verses. And we're actually going to come back and read these two verses again in a moment. But this chapter begins by saying, after the creation account, thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. So He didn't do just one little thing. He did everything that was pertaining, might I say, to life and godliness for man on this planet. And then it says, and by the seventh day, God completed His work which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Now, resting does not mean He quit doing everything. The Bible says, concerning Jesus says, my Father is at work today. But I want you to begin to see as we go through this, while it may be the same true for us, it's a little different kind of work. He is doing something different today than He was during this time of creation. And so He rested on this seventh day. Now the word for rest here is a little different. It's Shabbath, S-H-A-B-A-T-H, and it is what Jung calls a primitive root, and it means to repose. That is to desist from exertion. I would say to step away from toil. It means to cause to let, or to make to cease. It means to celebrate. It can mean to cause or make to fail. It can also mean to keep, talking about the Sabbath. And there are a number of other things, including make to rest, to put away, to rid, to steal, or to take away. So I want you to get a sense that this is talking about something that you're doing, and because it is complete, it's time to what? Rest. Now, for us, I'm going to say one more time, this rest that we're talking about doesn't mean that we have a work, an assignment to do. Don't have an assignment to do. We do. Now, I want you to look at one other thing in this third verse. And it says, then God blessed the seventh day. He blessed the day. And he sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. Now, the word blessed is the word barak that we've looked at before together. It means to kneel, or like you would see a knight kneeling before a king or queen. And it really, if you consider it toward God, its meaning is implying an adoration. But toward man, it also means as a benefit. And we talk about it meaning empowered to prosper. But he blessed the day. So he is saying this day is an empowerment to prosper. And that's just worth writing down so you can go back to it. But I want you to see the backstory, if I might, behind this, so you can appreciate this truth. And also it bears witness to us as a second witness. Go back to Genesis 1. The story of creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the waters. Now, here's some phrases that get repeated. Then God said, that's repeated a number of times, 8, I believe, let there be light, and there was light. But these are the two verses that I want to focus on. And God saw that the light was good. Now, that's another phrase that you're going to hear me say is repeated a number of times. And God separated the light from the darkness. And he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And then there is this phrase, and there was evening, and there was morning, one day. Now, you know that the Jewish day begins at 6 p.m. in the evening. And so he is saying that there was evening and there was morning. So really what he's saying is there is a definitive time that ended called day one. That's important. Look down at verse 6. Then God said, so he continues to speak each day. And I think the fact that he's speaking while he's working is equally important to you and I. Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse, and he separated the waters which was below the expanse from the waters, talking about the heavens, which were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and then it says, and there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. So another set time, if I might. Now, if you'll look down, and we're not going to read them all, but in each day following, in verse 13, for day 3, it says, and there was evening, and there was morning, a third day. Now, and each time it says this, it says, and he saw that it was good. Verse 19 is the fourth time, and there was evening and the morning, a fourth day. And then, in verse 23, we see the fifth day. It says there was evening and the morning, a fifth day. So he's talking about this day ending as he's finishing his creation. And then in verse 31, after man has been created, and I want to read this one. It says, and God saw that all he had made. Now, that's important because I've read this a lot of times to say when he created man, he just said man was very good. But he's saying right now, and God saw that all he had made, it was very good. And I believe the good became very good because man was now there to inhabit it and to partake from it. But look at this sentence, then at the second sentence in 31. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. So, what is God telling us here? That there were definitive times when the work he was doing was done, and there were the same time periods when that work was completed. But go back to Genesis 2 and just look through there. It says the heavens and earth were completed and all their hosts, and by the seventh day he had completed his work. And then he blessed the seventh day in it because he rested. What is missing from this? We know it's good. He said it was. There's no phrase about this time period ending. Do you think, since there's not a mention of this blessed day ending, or this blessed day ending, do you think that the Lord is really telling us in this that the blessed Sabbath, if I can call it that, should be a never-ending day? Or maybe better said, it's days of continual blessing. What did Adam have? Everything he needed was what? Provided. There was nothing missing. Spirit, soul, or body concerning him. There was no toil he had to go about. There was no worry. There was no fretting. There was no dis-ease. And thus, there was no disease. It was just blessing. And what was God's intent? That's the way man would live in this earth that he had created. And accepting the fall of Adam, unless you or I would have done it, which we won't even think about that, it would still be that way. Do you think Adam, after he was kicked out of the garden, thought about this blessed Sabbath day in which he lived on a continuum? No toil. It certainly wasn't a blessed time for him because he was toiling. So we see, I believe, in this that God intended this rest, this Sabbath rest, to be a continuum for us. And I believe it's what he's making available to us to step into today. So let's talk about this Sabbath of the Old Covenant. And begin to get a picture of what we're looking at. Look at Exodus 16. Now, there's scriptures here that you can read all of them. I may not read all of them. This may be an exception. Starting in verse 22, this is coming after the instructions of how to gather the manna. And it says, "Now it came about on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread." That's an important fact. "Two omers for each one. When all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, 'This is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath.'" It's that same word that is used when God said, when it said he rested. Talking about the same thing. "It is tomorrow's a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that's left over, just put it aside and keep it to the morning." So they put it aside to morning as he had ordered, and it did not become foul, nor were there any worms in it, as it did when they gathered too much on every other day. And when it came about on the seventh day that some of the people went out to actually find the manna, but what? But there was none. So what is this day, this Sabbath day that the Lord has provided for them? Well, it is a blessed day, first of all. And it's a day to rest. No gathering. We might say no toil, no works. And it was a day to set aside to focus on him. And when I say on him, I also believe, for a number, on him and what he had promised for them. So they keep their eyes on him. So it's, you look at me and all I've done for you and all I will do for you. A day to be thankful and just think about him. Now think about us today. Some people would say that we look at Sunday as the Sabbath. That's when we go to church. Do you think we might have gotten religious and just think it's a day that occurs every week when we have something to do? You know, you can kind of ponder that one and judge for yourself. Now, why am I going over this? Well, look at Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17. And this is concerning being judged for eating things correctly at the different feasts. And Paul is talking to him. And look what he says, 16. Therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or to drink, or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. And then 17 is the key phrase. Think these things that he's talking about here, things, the festivals, the moon, the Sabbath. These things are a mere shadow of what is to come. So it's a picture, a type of what's to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. Let me read you 17 in the Amplified. Such things are only a shadow of things that are to come, and they only have a symbolic value. Now for us, they're wisdom as we understand it, because we understand the next part of this. But the reality, the substance, the solid fact of what is foreshadowed, the body of it, belongs to Christ. So it's saying he is the fulfillment of that. The New Living, for verse 17, says, for these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come, and Christ himself is the reality. That's so that what we need to see, that as we talk about these pictures, these are things that we can now partake of in Christ. And so we see that we've been given a day to focus on Jesus, keep our eyes on him. When there's no toil, be thankful. But what are we seeing now? That has been fulfilled in Jesus. And so if it was to be a day that was the way it was intended, that's how we can live day to day. Man, that's really something big in my eyes. Now, it gets better than that. So as we see what's ours in this Sabbath day rest, in this rest once a week, when they got a double portion, and I'll go ahead and say that, of the manna, then they didn't have to toil, they didn't have to work, they could focus on Jesus, on God, for us it's Jesus, and they could live their life that way. And we're saying that's how we can live our life every day. This is his rest, the completed work for us in the New Testament. Now, this rest is truly a different way of living life, and it can be produced only by a new kingdom, not the kingdom of this earth. We can't make it happen in our flesh, in our soulish realm. It is a new kingdom that Jesus brought to earth for us. And make sure that you understand this now, that I am not sure that you can really discern your purpose, your calling, your reasons for being when all you're doing is working and toiling and worrying about how you're going to get your debts paid off and having that consume you totally. And there's some things I'm tempted as we're building a house and some prices have just escalated beyond imagination, that I am convinced the Lord gave me this as much for me as to teach you during these times. So it is something that we all have to work out. If you are consumed with physical and mental activity all the time, then certainly there is no rest. But I want you to see it gets better than just this once a week that we've talked about. Let's look at the Sabbath year. In the Sabbath year, and this is in Leviticus 25:1-7. This is a year that was set aside every 7 years. So instead of a seventh day, now we're going to a seventh year. And there's a couple of key points on this. In verse 3, it says, 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its crop. But during the seventh year, the land shall have a Sabbath rest. Now remember, that's a blessed rest. So that land is coming back stronger if it's blessed. A Sabbath to the Lord, so you don't sow your field nor prune your vineyard. Your harvest aftergrowth you shall not reap. Your grapes of untrained vines you shall not gather. And the land shall have a sabbatical year. And then in verse 6 it says, and all of you shall have the Sabbath products of the land for food. So what is left over after that first year, the Lord multiplied it. He gave them a double portion so that they could what? Be sustained for that entire year. Now, think about being able to take time off and just do things of the Lord. Isn't that what a lot of people, particularly in education, call a sabbatical? Where they take time away from their work to focus on something that's really important to them? And this is giving us a picture of being able to do this for a whole year. Now, there's some really cool things in this as well in the book of Deuteronomy. And so I want you to look at Deuteronomy 15. And some of you, I'm sure you've read through this, but I have. But this just hit me. Listen to this. And at the end of every 7 years, you should grant a remission of debt. So in that sabbatical year, one of the things that happened was all debt was forgiven. And it goes and talks about you can take it, you still procure funding for the debt from the foreigner, but from the brothers in the Lord, from your fellow Jewish people, you're to what? You're to free them up. Verse 3 says, but your hand shall release whatever is of yours is with your brother. So we're letting go of it to be a blessing to our brother. And now look at this phrase in verse 4. And some of you are going to say, no way. However, there shall be no poor among you. If all the debt was forgiven, then there could not be poverty because poverty is lack and the inability to pay for what you have. And so we're talking about sufficiency. And I begin to think about 2 Corinthians 9:8, having all sufficiency in all things. That's quite a statement. There shall be no poor among you. Now you may say, well, why did Jesus say the poor you'll have with you always, but me? Well, what he's indicating here, if you look at verse 5, let me finish 4. It says, the Lord will surely bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So if I let go of it, this says I'm going to be even more blessed. And look at verse 5. If only you will listen obediently. Now, the word for listen and obedient is the same word in the Hebrew. To hear, it means to hear intelligently, as if I hear it, so I'm going to do it. So if you listen obediently to the voice of the Lord to carefully observe all this commandment which I'm commanding you. You know, this thing was contingent of none being poor, and no poor among you, of doing what? Of being obedient to the Lord. And you know, we sometimes think, well, because of grace, nothing is conditional. Well, that's not true. There are things that we have to do to be able to receive that grace. And so much of hearing and acting, hearing and believing and acting is really what this word is talking about. And certainly in doing this, the word tries us. Isn't that what it said about Joseph? That until the time that the word of the Lord had come to pass, that the word of the Lord tested him or tried him. So these are things that Joseph must have gone through and must do in order to have this word come for him. But for you and I, in this, then we can see that part of his Sabbath rest is having all sufficiency. No debt is a possibility because we don't have insufficient ability. Because we are forgiven, there is no insufficiency in the kingdom of God. Now, I didn't say in this earth, but in the kingdom of God. We too can tap into this kingdom focus and overcome this cursed place. But there's one more, and I want to get through it today. The year of Jubilee. 7 Sabbaths of 7 years. So you get to 49 years, and the 49th year is a Sabbath year. And then the year of Jubilee is the 50th year. And it's interesting to me that Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given to us in this 50th year. And you're going to see why right now. So this day of Jubilee, this time of Jubilee, this season of Jubilee that we saw was intended to be part of, and the Lord is just revealing parts of this to them. And there's some reasons for that, but I don't have time to get into it. But they're about to get back the one thing that could cause their provision to increase. And so in Leviticus 25, talking about this day of Jubilee, which was the Day of Atonement, when the trumpet would sound, we'd get another picture added to us. So let me just kind of summarize what he's saying here in this chapter. What he's telling us is that I'm going to give you 3 years of provision. You're going to plant in that 48th year, and you're going to do the things you wouldn't do there for the 49th year. But because it is blessed, it's also going to support you for what? For that 50th year. And then it's going to support you in that next year until your crops come in. So almost 4 years, this is going to support them. 3+. So there's provision, great provision granted. What else happens in this? Well, it says that all slaves are forgiven. So that means they are what? Set free. Because a lot of what caused enslavement was owning things. And what this means is, to me, is their identity changed. Oh, do you begin to see this? As we were slaves to sin, and now we've been set free, and our identity has changed. So the other thing then was all the land went back to the owners. So they were no longer slaves. They were free. And they were enabled to prosper. They were blessed to prosper because the family lands had come back to them. So consider freedom in our soul by having provision provided. And what I mean by that is you're not going to worry about where your next meal is coming from. You're not going to worry what I'm going to do next week, how this is going to happen. You are no longer a slave. Your identity has changed. You're now the son of the living God, a king and a joint heir with Jesus. All your debts in all this has been wiped out. Look at verse 21 in this. The land, then I will order my blessing for you in the sixth year that it will bring in the crop for 3 years. How is such a Sabbath rest possible? Because we have been blessed. Now you can look at scriptures like 2 Corinthians 9:8. Let me just remind you of it. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in all things, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Does that sound like exceedingly, abundantly, above? No toil. We are to live in this seventh day that God rested, just like He did. Thanks, there is a Sabbath rest for us. That's what we just saw in Hebrews 4, the 9th verse. The reality of this picture is in Jesus. Now I'm going to stop here, and next week we're going to hear some words of Jesus where He declares who He is in regards to this. And then we're going to go through Hebrews 4. And then we're going to look at some examples so that we can learn from others how they entered into this Sabbath rest. It's not anything new. It's about hearing it and believing it and acting on it. Love you guys, and stay tuned with us for next week. And we'll probably finish this up. I know I told you 3. But it'll definitely be 4, and it'll be worth coming back for. Have a great week.